Good to be saved. Amen. Are you glad you're in the family of God today? Oh, if you're not, you've got problems somewhere, you know. Take your Bible, please. Turn to the book of Matthew, chapter number 13. Matthew, chapter 13. Matthew is our New Testament book we're studying through together. Our Old Testament book is the book of... Thank all two of you there. Amen. Our topical series are night scenes of Scripture, things that took place at night. And now we've come back to our New Testament book. We've come to Matthew chapter 13. We'll begin our reading in verse number 24. Matthew chapter 13, verse 24. We're right in the middle of the parables of Jesus Christ now, and we give Him the glory. We come to the second of the parables. We've already preached on the parable of the sower of the seed. Now we come to another parable that is such a sobering truth. I pray that you'll ask God to speak to you. And may I remind you that every time the Word of God is opened, God is speaking. I'm not talking about the pastor. I'm talking about the Word of God is being opened and the voice of God can be heard. And He's speaking to us. Let's ask Him to make Himself real to us today. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 13, verse 24, another parable put He forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. If you mark your Bible, I want you to mark the phrase in verse 25. It's the phrase, tares among the wheat. Tares among the wheat. Let's pray together. We share this thought with you. Father, help us today. Thank you for those who come week after week. Thank you for those who are visiting back. Thank you for those who are visiting for the first time. And I pray as the Word of God is opened that you will arrest us today. Our attention, may it be undivided. And I pray that as the Word of God is preached, that you help it to be preached in power. And Lord, with understanding, may nobody be confused when they leave here what they've heard. Speak to us, I pray. And Lord, if there happens to be a tare among the wheat, may today, may the miraculous job of the Holy Spirit, may you transform a tare into a stalk of wheat today, I pray. May the will of God be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we've been studying through this glorious book of Matthew together. It's already been a wonderful journey. And this chapter is no different. The book of Matthew is a book in which the Lord Jesus is dealing much and very often with the issue of personal and individual salvation. He made it plain that a person who is truly born again will manifest himself in some kind of spiritual fruit. And one way he emphasized this vital teaching was through parables. He did a lot of parabolic teaching, and let me remind you that a parable is simply a story that's cast alongside of a truth so that that particular truth can be seen more clearly. It's an illustration. It's like a window looking into a building. You can see the building from the outside, but you can see more clearly on the inside by looking through windows. That's a Bible illustration. That's a parabolic teaching. Today we come to the second of these parables. We've already noticed the first one given by our Lord. The parable of just sowing the seed in the different parts of ground, the good ground, the thorny ground, and all these different grounds, the wayside and so forth. But today we come to the second parable that He gave. And it's the parable known as the tares and the wheat. The parable where there's wheat that's growing and the enemy comes and sows some tares among them. The Lord said the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his own field. But while men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed tares among his wheat. The servant saw the tares and came to tell the man who owned the field. And the owner immediately knew it was his enemy that had done this. And the servants wanted to know if he wanted them to gather all the tares up at that time. And the owner told them no, unless while they uprooted the tares, they also uprooted some of the wheat along with them. He said to let them both grow together. Now we're going to read this as we go here. Just take my word for it here. He said just to let them both grow together until the harvest time. when he will then send his reapers, his angels, to gather all the tares from among the wheat, and they'll be cast into the fire. The wheat would be gathered and be placed into the owner's barn. Now, later on that day, the disciples asked the Lord to explain this particular parable to them. And he proceeded to tell them how he, the Son of Man, was the one sowing the good seed of wheat, while the devil was the enemy who sowed the tares. The field is the world, not the church. It's important that you see that. But the field is the world. And the good seed are the children of God, while the tares are the children of the devil. Now, while there are so many things that can be said concerning this parable, the Lord has led me to the phrase contained in it, the phrase that I lifted out of Scripture here, the phrase tares among the wheat. Now, this is given in verse 25. And what we're going to do is we're going to be focusing our attention on these tares and see what the Lord is teaching us in this particular parable. Now, may God help us to see these vital truths. And as we notice these three things, I want you to keep in mind the main thought: tares among the wheat. Tares among the wheat, number one. We notice tares among the wheat surveyed. Now, the Bible says in verse number 25, look at it, "But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way." Verse number 38, in the explanation of this, the Lord Jesus says, "The field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one." Now, since this message is focusing on the tares among the wheat, it's important that we understand what a tare is. Now, in this survey, we're going to be considering some things about tares that should help us understand what the Lord is teaching us in this parable. Now get this. Tares closely resemble wheat until the harvest time comes. It's been reported that tares look almost identical to wheat until the fruit comes out in the stalk. In other words, even though the tares can mimic the wheat in outward looks, in other words, whenever they would look on the wheat, if the tares were growing among it, to the naked eye before fruit, the tares would look just like a stalk of wheat. Just like it. But understand that even though the tares could mimic wheat in outward looks, the tares could never produce the fruit that wheat produces. Wheat is wheat. And tares is tares, or are tares, that's bad English, and they never will be the same. Their fruit will manifest their true identity. It has been said that even though at first it's hard to tell the difference between wheat and tares, it's been said as soon as the fruit forms, even a child can tell the difference. The Lord identified these tares as children of the devil. In other words, he's giving us a picture of an individual who is an imitator. He's giving us a picture of a counterfeit Christian. He's giving us a picture of one who may profess to know Christ but does not possess him as Lord and Savior. One who looks like the real thing, but proves otherwise by their spiritual fruit. One who dresses the part, but has never really been born again. One who's close in resemblance, who has never repented of their sin and received the Lord Jesus Christ. One who potentially has joined the church. One who potentially has been baptized, but has never truly been saved by the grace of God. One who looks and dresses the part, but is full of dead men's bones with no life inside. This is why he explained to the Pharisees, who outwardly were religious, outwardly to the naked eye, they looked like everything was good, but the Lord Jesus looked them right in the face and said, "You are whited sepulchers. He's saying because outside you garnish the outside what people see, but inside you are full of dead men's bones. This message is simply a crying out, don't settle for a counterfeit Christianity. Don't believe that you're saved because you prayed a prayer sometime in the past. Is there spiritual evidence in your life that you are a born-again child of God? I wouldn't miss heaven for anything on planet Earth, friends. And you need to make sure today that you are a wheat and not just a poor imitation of it. Now, I'm telling you this. Tares can look like wheat, but they cannot produce Holy Ghost fruit. They can't do it. And I'm telling you, beware of good works, for they do not save. Beware of good beliefs, because your beliefs do not save you. James chapter 2, verse 19 puts it this way. You believe there's one God, you do well. The devils also believe and tremble. Somebody says, I believe in God, that's why I'm going to heaven. It takes more than believing in God. You must be born again by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Has there really been a time where you have trusted Christ and Christ alone? If you say, I'm trusting Christ and this, or I'm trusting Christ and that, you are lost. You are not a born-again believer. We're getting ready to have a baptismal service because baptism is important in obedience to the Lord's command for a child of God, but that water has nothing to do with saving your soul. I'm telling you, you are only saved by the shedding of blood. There's no remission of sin. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And the Lord Jesus is saying that I have a field of wheat. But at the same time, the enemy comes and he plants tares that can look like wheat, but the end of those tares will manifest who they really are. Now, this is a teaching. I'm simply trying to say, make sure you know you're a stalk of wheat. Don't settle for something that back here, somebody said you did that, or somebody said you did this, or somebody said you did that, or somebody said you did this. Listen. You need to be able to say, I know I'm going to heaven because I have trusted Christ and Christ alone. I'm not relying on my good works. I'm relying on the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Thank God it is real and it is manifesting itself. Some 30, some 60, some 100, going back to the previous parable, it's manifesting itself some in Holy Ghost fruit. That's wheat. We're noticing the tares among wheat. First of all, we notice it surveyed. They're imitators. They look the part, but they don't have it inside. And I'm telling you, in a crowd this size, now it is not the business of a pastor to get the congregation to doubt. That, please. Doubting your salvation is one of the most horrible things in life. I've done it. But I know as I stand before you today that I'm a born-again child of God because I've trusted Christ as my Savior. And if you're saved, this is not given for you to doubt. But it's given to somebody who comes in and says, I think I'm okay. I'm in church. I'm singing good songs. But inside there's an emptiness. Inside you know something's not right. It could be it's a tear among the wheat. Number one, we see them surveyed. Number two, let's notice them sowed. I went back and forth on sowed or sown. I could use either one of them. Just in case we have English people out here, so on. I can use either one. And if it bothers you, then just use the one that you prefer. Sowed or sown. Tares among the wheat surveyed. They're imitators. They're counterfeits. Number two, we notice them sowed or sown. Look at verse number 25. But while men slept, his enemy came, sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. When the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? Look at verse number 39. The enemy that sold them in is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. Now, as we look at these tares sowed or sown, there's three things that come out under this point. Number one, we noticed them surveyed. They're imitators. They're counterfeit. They look like it, but they're not really it. And what manifests it is at the end, the fruit that comes out. Only wheat can produce wheat fruit. Tares can't produce the fruit of wheat. So their fruit manifests who they are. And Jesus said, By their fruits ye shall know them. Secondly, we noticed them sowed. There's three things I want to bring out under this point. First of all, let's look at the sower. Who is it? Who's the one that sowed these tares? Verse 39 is very dogmatic. I mean, the Lord said the enemy that sowed them is the devil. It's interesting to note how the sower is identified as the enemy of the man who owned the field. We know that this man is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, because in verse number 37, it says, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. And in the parable itself, in verses 24 down to verse number 30, he brings out how this good man was sowing his seed into his field, and his enemy came and sowed the tares. Therefore, the sower of the tares is the one who is an enemy of the precious Son of God. He's out to hurt the Lord Jesus. And one way he tries to do this is he tries by sowing tares among his wheat. May I say this to you? The principal agents of Satan are not those who are obviously living in sin. The principal agents of Satan are unbelievers who are in our seminaries and unbelievers who are in our pulpits around this country and unbelievers who are teaching others spiritual things. The work of the devil is deception. And may I say to you that we can apply this right here in different ways. We apply it to somebody. Don't let the devil deceive you to think that you're a piece of wheat when you're really a tare. But on the flip side, we can also apply this by saying this. The most dangerous deception is the deception closest to the truth. And I'm telling you that the devil is the one who planted these tares among the wheat. He's in the business of trying to disturb the field of wheat, friends. So therefore, he implants his own children among them. What I'm telling you is he loves to get an unbeliever in the pulpit. He loves to get an unbeliever on the deacon board. He loves to get an unbeliever teaching a Sunday school class or singing in the choir or giving their tithes and offering, as long as he can make them think that they're okay in these things. See, the Bible puts it this way in Romans chapter 10 and verse number 3. It says, For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. I'm telling you that the devil would love nothing more than to implant one of his children in a leadership position in this church to disrupt the unity found here. That's why before people join the church, that's why before people take a class, that's why people before, I'm talking about before they take a bus route, that's why it's our job to sit down and make sure they know that they're born again. Because if an unbeliever sneaks in under the guise of a tare, it can disrupt the wheat in that field. I'm telling you today that we notice the first thing about this sowing of it, these tares among the wheat sowed, we notice the sower. He's the devil. He's a deceiver. 2 Corinthians 11, 13 to 15 says, For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. God is telling us in these verses here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 that the devil is an angel of light. He manifests who he really is not. And his ministers will do the same. They'll talk the talk. They'll act like they're walking the walk. They'll dress the part. They'll look like it, but inside they've never been saved. The sower is the devil. Secondly, not only we notice the sower, but secondly, the timing of it. When did this sowing of the tares take place? Look at verse number 25. The Bible says, but while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. Isn't it interesting to note how the enemy sowed the tares among the wheat when the men were asleep? While the men were who were responsible for the field was asleep, the enemy came and sowed his tares among the wheat. This goes to show that we need to be constantly on guard, that a tare is not sown among the wheat here. Let us be sober. Let us be alert for the cause of Christ to make sure that a tare is not leading wheat at this church. And it's when God's people go to sleep, that's when the devil plants his tares. He works under the guise of darkness. And he works under deception, and he works while men slumber and fall asleep. You close your eyes, don't be surprised what's here when you wake up. Because the devil does not sleep. And his work is to sow tares among the wheat. In that, I'm trying to apply it in two separate ways. I'm talking about those who know they're lost, but they're trying to disrupt the unity of those who are saved. But I'm also talking about those who come into a service like this believing that they're wheat because that, but they cannot tell you for sure that they've ever been born again saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm applying two ways. I hope you see that. But this particular point here about the timing of it, let us at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church stay awake. Let us stay alert. Let us not drift off to sleep. And may I say that when people sleep, that's when sowing the tares take place. The Bible says in 2 Peter 2:1, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Jude 3 and 4 puts it this way, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. In other words, he's saying, I want to write unto you about salvation, but I'm having to write to you to say, wake up, stand firm. And then he goes on to say, for there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, my friends, that there are people out there who are tares, and they know it, and they don't care. You listening to me? And their whole job is to try to disrupt a church like this one. And the way they get in, they don't come in saying, I'm a tare, I'm a tare, I'm a tare, I'm a tare, look at me, I'm a tare. No, he's an imitator. He's a counterfeit. He knows he's not saved. He knows he's lost, but he's going to try to work his way in here, weave his way in here, so he can disrupt the unity in this church. You listening to me? It'll only happen if the leadership and the church members at this church fall asleep. Don't fall asleep. Stay awake for the glory of God. And make sure that Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, if God tarries, is here in 100 years from now, preaching the same Bible, preaching the same truth, standing for the same gospel. It will not happen if the devil implants tares among the wheat here at Buffalo Ridge. That's basically the primary interpretation. But the application of it is this. On the flip side, there are people who are tares and they have no idea. They have convinced themselves because of a few activities that they've been involved in. They've convinced themselves because of a few things that they're engaged in that they must be saved. But if you pin them down and say, why are you going to heaven? They can't tell you. Why are you going to heaven? If your answer is anything other than His name is Jesus. There was a time when I understood I was a sinner. Jesus died in my place. And there was a time when I came and I asked Jesus to come into my heart. Forgive my sin. I didn't want my sin, I wanted Him. And I asked Him to forgive me. And when I see God, it'll be simply nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to Thy cross I cling. If it's anything other than that, you're a tare. You're not wheat. I'm telling you, we want as many people here as God wants here. Listen to me, please. I would love for this church to get so big that we have to tear everything down, we have to relocate, we have to build everything, but I'm going to tell you one thing, I'm not going to compromise to get it. I love you too much not to look you in the face and say that being born again is so much more important than attending Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Do you know you're saved? Are you playing a game? It's important business, wouldn't you agree, friends? There's a third thing under this point. I don't know why I go down there, because I get away from my notes and I lose some time, but anyway, I'm talking to you while I'm getting here. Number three, this is all under tares among wheat sowed or sown, whatever you prefer. The sower is the devil, the time is when men slept. But let me show you the encouragement. While the sowing of the tares is not a good thing, there is an encouragement here. You know what it is? It's brought out how the enemy could sow tares, but he couldn't tear up the wheat. Amen, friends. He could sow among it. He could sow a tare there and sow one there, but he couldn't reach and pull one up. You listening? He couldn't tear up the wheat. And in this is just another reason why we see that if you are a wheat, you'll always be wheat. And if you are wheat, you're in the care of the owner's hand. And while he can plant a tare here and a tare here, he cannot tear you up. Amen. You're secure in Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1, 3-5 says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. You know what I'm glad of? I'm glad that what God saves, God keeps. And I'm glad that I didn't do anything to get saved, and I don't have to do anything to stay saved. Amen. I'm glad that I'm kept by God's power, not mine, because I'm not powerful enough to keep myself saved. And you're not either, friends. Somebody says, well, wait a minute, I thought the Bible says you can lose your salvation. I'm writing a book on that, so I'm not going to get off on it too much here. But I am, now listen, if you're truly saved, you will have a desire to do what God wants you to do. Some 30, some 60, some 100. I'm not saying that when you're saved, you can do anything you want to do. I'm not saying, because you can't, because the Bible teaches in Hebrews chapter 12 that God will beat the daylights out of His children. If you're without chastisement, the Bible calls you bastards. Strong word, the world has taken it and turned it into a curse word, but that's a Bible word. He says, if you be without chastisement, you're bastards and none of His. No child of God can get away with sin. We've never taught that. That's not Bible. But I'm glad that when I got saved, I don't have to worry, do I still have it today? Because what He does, He finishes it. And when you got saved and you now have, present tense, everlasting life. John 3:16, For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Not will have, but have it now. If it's everlasting, it means it goes on and goes on and goes on and goes on. I'm glad that I am kept in the power of Almighty God's hand. You're listening to me today? If we could lose our salvation, who are you to say that one sin is worse than another sin, or one sin's not as bad as the other sin? What is it that separates man from God? Sin! sin. And if sin separates, then every bad thought you have, every wrong thing you do, you're now lost again. Aren't you glad that's not the case, friends? There's no peace in that kind of life. There's peace in knowing that you're under the blood of Jesus Christ and you love Him because He first loved you. And no matter how many tares the enemy sows, he can't touch the wheat. He can't get close to you. And he cannot tear you up. Then there's a third thing. And this is the third thing about the tares among wheat. Tares among wheat surveyed. They're imitators. They look it, but they don't have it. They look like it, but they are not the real thing. Number two, we notice the tares among wheat sowed. And it was sowed by the devil while men slept. But the wheat was still secure. Third thing, we notice tares among wheat separated. Look at verse 28, the latter part of it. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up, talking about the tares? But he said, No, nay. Lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares. Bind them in bundles to burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn. You know, it's a sobering thought that there's so many tares you had to bundle them together. He said, put them in bundles. Now he explains what this is in verse number 39 and following. That's the parable that I just read. Then he explains it in verse 39, the latter part. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth His angels. They shall gather out of His kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity. Shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be weeping, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear? Let him hear. When the servants saw the tares among the wheat, they immediately came to the owner and they wanted the owner to answer the question, Do you want us to go ahead and take the tares now and pull them up and separate them? The owner told him, he said, Don't do that. He said, Let them grow together until the harvest. And at the harvest, I'll send my reapers and they're going to separate. There's where I get separated. They're going to separate the tares and put them in bundles. And they're going to put the bundles of tares and throw them in the fire. And then they're going to take the wheat and bring them to the barn. Now, the Lord is teaching us something here. See, we're told in studying tares that the root system of tares is poisonous and entangles itself many times with the root system of wheat. To the point that there's no way to pull the tares up from the ground without destroying the wheat. It's still wheat, but it would disrupt it. It would injure it. It would harm it. It would disturb the wheat. The Lord waiting until the harvest to deal with these tares, now get this, shows His great love and concern for His wheat. He does not want to disturb or destroy or hurt one stalk of wheat. He would rather tares grow than one blade of wheat be injured. He's waiting in patience to deal with the tares. Now, this is not an allowance for doctrinal heresy in the church. In other words, he's not saying just let the tares grow among the wheat in the church. No, because what is he talking about? He's talking about the field. And the field is what? The world. He's not giving an allowance. Oh, okay, if you have a Sunday school teacher that's teaching that it doesn't take the blood of Christ, just leave him alone. Let God deal with him. Are you listening to me? This pastor will be dealing with him. Amen. That's not what God's teaching here. He's talking about the ultimate end of somebody's soul. He's saying, leave them alone. I know who they are. This is what God is teaching here. He's speaking of the matter of an individual standing before God. The matter of who is truly saved and lost will be settled by God alone. There is coming a day when the wheat will be gathered into the barn, and I can't wait to see the barn. How about you, friends? But at the same time, the tares will be gathered, not for the barn, but for the burning. It's important to note here how there are only two places at the harvest: the barn and the fire. And in eternity, there is one of two places you will spend it: in the barn or in the fire. Now, it's interesting also to note how the Lord interpreted every figure of this parable. In other words, the sower of the good seed is him. The sower of the bad seed is the devil. The field is the world. The good seed, the wheat are children of... He brought out, he interpreted every figure, but he did not interpret the fire. He did not say, and the fire is annihilation. He didn't say, and the fire is just a state of torment in your mind. He didn't interpret the fire. Interesting, isn't it? Let me tell you why he didn't interpret it. Because it's literal, that's why. It's literal fire. The preaching of hell is out of date in the world, but it's still in the pages of God's holy word. And I'm telling you today that it's interesting that when the bundles of tares were thrown into the fire, they did not burn up. The Bible says there was wailing and gnashing of teeth. And I'm telling you that the reapers made no mistakes, and they'll make no mistakes in the future. Nobody will end up in the fire who does not rightfully belong there. And nobody's going to look in the barn up there and see a tear and say, "How'd you get here?" It will not happen. I'm telling you, if you are wheat, there ought to be a deep sigh of relief. The barn is my future. Glory. Brother Steve, you got a beautiful barn, but your barn is not no match for the barn that God's building right now. Praise God. But on the other side, if you're sitting there right now and you say, "You know, I don't know what I am. If I look at the fruit of my life, I don't know." You know what you need to do? You need to ask God. Come to Him. And make sure that before you leave, you're a stalk of wheat. See, only God can transform a tare into a wheat. And if we're wheat today, hey, this is one reason why you ought not to eat wheat bread and so on, because look at me, I'm wheat, okay? I'm a stalk of wheat up here. But there was a day when I was a tear. God changed my life. I'm asking you, do you know that you're saved? God is graciously and patiently allowing wheat and tares to grow together right now. You are living in this parable, friends. We are living in this parable. The harvest has not come yet. You're living in it. But there's coming a day when He's going to send these reapers. And they're going to gather the tares, put them in bundles, put them in the fire. Gather the wheat, take them to the barn, and they'll be separated for all eternity. It's been said that when wheat matures, interesting, get this, just about done, stay with me now. When wheat matures, the head fills with kernels whose weight causes the stalk of wheat to bend toward the ground like this. The seeds in the head of the tares, on the other hand, are small, they're black, they're lightweight, so that the tares remain standing tall like this. This is a picture of how a genuine believer is told from a tare. That the fruit in a child of God's life will manifest itself in such a way that they are bowing in submission to their Father. Whereas a tare can look the part, dress the part, act like the part, but he will not yield. He will not bend. He will not say no to his pride. And with all the love in my heart, all I can say is God will make no mistakes. And there is coming a day when everything will bow. Why not bow now? Say yes to Jesus. John Phillips put it this way. Weed is a hardy annual with shallow roots that do not go deeply into the soil. Weed is not deeply anchored to this world. Its destiny is to pass rapidly from this scene in successive harvest. It's interesting that wheat dies downward as it ripens upward. Did you know that? It dies downward as it grows upward. Don't tell me God doesn't know what He's doing, friends. The stalk and root are dead when the grain is ripe in wheat. And I ask you simply today, you've listened well, God bless you. But do you know for sure that your future is the barn? Or are you concerned it might be the burning? May God do business with our hearts. Let's all bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Father, we love you today. Help us to understand this. Help us to see this. Help us to get this. If somebody's come to this service and in their heart they're concerned that they may be a tare, Father, help them to humble themselves and realize it is not worth a tare remaining a tare because of what other people may think. God, help us. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, they're beginning to play through softly. Tares may look like wheat, but they will never be the same. It can mimic the outward appearance, but not the inner fruit. Please don't allow the devil to make you think that you're wheat by simply looking on the outside. Remember, all is not gold that glitters. Take a good look in your own heart and make sure that you are wheat ready for the harvest in the future. I wouldn't gamble on eternity for anybody or anything. Make sure you're truly born again. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. We're not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to call you out. I wouldn't embarrass you for anything in the world. You have my word on that. But could it be that there's somebody here today and you've been going through the motions? Maybe you've been dressing the part. Maybe you've been looking like it. Even trying to act like it. But in the privacy of your own heart, is God speaking to you? Is God saying, hey, the tares that mimic the wheat, the tares that look like the wheat, the tares that are counterfeit, that's you. It's a great day when a tare understands what they are. And they don't want to stay that way. They want to become wheat. It's a great day. Is there one today say, Jody, pray for me. I'm concerned in my heart that I am a tare. I'm concerned in my heart that I'm an imitator. And you say, pray for me, Jody. I want to know that I'm wheat. I don't know that, but I want to know that. I want to be wheat. If I'm not, you may just be doubting. I don't know what it is. But if you say, I don't know that I'm wheat, but I want to be wheat. I don't want to be a tare that's bundled and thrown in the fire. I don't want to go to a place where there's wailing and gnashing of teeth. I want to know I'm wheat. I want to know I'm saved. I want to know I'm going to the barn one of these days. Have you say, Jody, pray for me. I'm tired of playing games. And I realize the seriousness of this. Be honest. Would you raise your hand? Put it right back down. Is there anybody like that? You say, pray for me, Jody. I want to know that I'm wheat. I don't know that. I'm concerned I might be a tare. Put your hand up. Put it right back down. Anybody at all? I'm looking. Eyes are surfing. Upstairs and down. Let me ask you this question. You say, Jody, I'm a wheat. But I know of a tare. I know somebody in my own life. Might be a co-worker. Might be a family member. Might be somebody that you're concerned with that, oh, hey, they've been playing the part. They've been dressing the part. They've been, maybe in church all their life, whatever the case, but in your heart, you're concerned that maybe they're a tare and not wheat. You say, Jody, I know somebody that I'm concerned for. I'm wheat, but I'm concerned about them. Is there somebody like that? Would you raise your hand? Be an honest person. Yes, God bless you. Several hands. Just a moment, Brother Gary will begin to sing. I'm going to invite you to come and talk to God about it. Would you do it? Somebody here that's not saved or not sure, why don't you come? Let us take a Bible, share the gospel with you. Let's all stand together, please. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Father, take control of this service. I know that this is the message that you wanted me to preach. And I pray that you'll use it, not just in this service, but as a result of this service. May you help people to get this message and give it to unsaved loved ones. Thy will be done in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's going to begin to sing. I'm going to go ahead and dismiss those who are getting ready to be baptized if you'll make your way up. And if you want to come and talk to God about these unsaved loved ones, why don't you come? As Brother Gary sings, you come. Come now. Would you do that? Come now.
Just as I am,
and come talk to God about tares. God, help that person. Help that person. Help them to see.
Blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come.
Just a moment, Brother Gary is going to sing another verse. If you're still standing, I'd like you to look this way. We'll bow in just a moment. I'm going to go get prepared for baptism. A message like this, I realize a lot of times you're speaking to the so-called speaking to the choir. Most of you are saved, maybe all of you, and I trust you are. But don't let a message like this die. If you raise your hand about a tear, won't you get a copy of the message? Ask that person to listen to it and beg God to speak to them. You understand what I'm saying? God's word lives on. May you take it and use it for the glory of God. Let's all bow again. Father, help us now. Help people to respond in Jesus' name. Brother Gary will sing and he'll take control of the invitation here.
Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relief, because thy promise.
Be seated just for a moment.
Two quick announcements. First one, if you're a parent who has a teenager going to camp, we want to meet tonight after the service with Brother Mann. And so that's tonight right after the service, all teens going to camp and their parents. The big announcement, of course, is Bible school. And the Lord has already been blessing. We had over 100 people out canvassing on Thursday night. And how many of you got to go canvassing, knocking on doors with us this week? Great. What a host. Thank you so much for all your labors. One bus captain told me today that we had 50 people sign up to ride his bus already, and that didn't count the regular riders. So we're looking forward to a great week this week. Appreciate your labors. Many of you have also signed up to work in Bible school. We've had Bible time for 50,000 years. It's hard to change gears. In Bible school, and we are having a meeting for you at 5 o'clock in the chapel. If you're working in Bible school, I know where you're going to be at 5 o'clock, don't I? Yes, I do. We need you to be there. You say, well, I just work with the freshmen, or I'm just driving a bus. You need to be there. Pastor wants you there. There are some important things he wants to go over with you. And so please, one meeting, one time a year, an hour and 10 minutes. You can handle that. I know you can. So you meet us, it's 5 o'clock in the chapel, and then you'd be praying this week that God would work in the hearts and lives of children. There will be no Wednesday night service. If you want to come and be in rally time with Mr. Nathan, he'd love to have you. He may even do some magic on you, cut your head off or something. And so it'll be a great time. But be praying, please. We'll be dealing with hundreds of children this week, and we need the Lord's help. Ushers, you come, we'll receive the offering, and then we'll have our baptismal service. Lord, we do thank you for this service. We thank you for the word of God. We pray that your spirit would apply it to our hearts. Thank you for this offering. Help us to be obedient in our giving. Bless these that are about to be baptized. May you bless them. Help them to walk in newness of life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hear me okay up there? If you hear me, would you raise a hand, please? Good night to hear me in the back of the balcony. I must have a trumpet up here. But anyway, these are two sisters up here. It is a blessing. Praise the Lord for it. This is Victoria Radford on your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. In obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the blessed Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. Amen. This is her sister. This is Rebecca Radford. Upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, the blessed Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk. Travis last because I'm not sure if I'm going to let him back up or not. This is Travis Steeles. Travis has been dealing with his salvation for a while, just really doubting, struggling, all of these kind of things. Travis has finally nailed it down. He knows he's a born-again child of God.
Amen.
He's got that assurance in his heart. And he wants to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Need to accept him on this. I'm proud of him. I want him to know that. Of course, I don't want to get on his bad side. He could take me down if he wanted to. Some of you would like to see that, wouldn't you? Anyway, what's the pledge of the church that we receive him upon his baptism here? Could I get the pledge of the church with the Snodgrass, with the Nathan? All in favor, say aye. And raise your hand high if you wouldn't mind. Any opposed, same sign. So carry. This is Travis. This is supposed to be a serious time. This is Travis Steele's. Upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, in obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the blessed Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in the name of the Lord. Amen. Have you happy for him? Say a big amen.
Amen.
Happy for these two sisters who follow the Lord? Say an amen on that.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for it. We encourage you to be back tonight. All the VBS workers, everybody, whatever you're doing, makes no difference what you're doing. A meeting tonight at 5 o'clock. You need to be right in your place. Vital meeting tonight. You'll be back in your place at 6:30 this evening. Let's all stand. Remind all the guests, if you have a visitor's card, take your visitor's card out to the Welcome Center. We've got a special gift for you. Shake each other's hands on the way out. I'm going to ask Brother Bobby Pollard, if you wouldn't mind, to dismiss us in prayer, sir.